A good afternoon to our audience, and we're welcoming you once again to our podcast on Knowledge in Action, coming to you from MSTCDC in Arusha, Tanzania. This podcast is brought to you in a partnership between the Danida Fellowship Center and the MS Training Center for Development Cooperation. We come to you with knowledge on democracy, good governance, stability, and green transition. Today, we are going to be having a very interesting conversation with people who have participated in an activity that we have been planning all year round to have, the East Africa Community Youth Fellowship. Very recently, we were able to roll out the East Africa Community Youth Fellowship. We have 30 very promising fellows that are participating in this program. And as part of the second module that they went through, they learned self-leadership and management as a key or a tool towards leading others. In the studio, I have Duncan Juma, the instructor who has taken them through this session and led all the other instructors who are taking them through this session. He would like to call himself a coach, and I'm going to just allow him a minute to introduce himself and just tell you who he is and what he does. Duncan?
Yeah, thank you very much, Stella. As you've heard, my name is Duncan Juma from Kenya. And I've been part of the team supporting the self-awareness part of the East African Youth Fellowship program. And it's a pleasure being here. Of course, in my credentials, I'm a coach. I wouldn't just like to be called that. I am one. But more importantly, I'm big on self-awareness. And so that's part of my contribution to this team this time in the first cohort of the East African Youth Fellowship.
Thank you very much, Duncan. And to join us in this conversation and complete this conversation so that we make sure that Duncan will not be tooting his own horn, we have one of the participants of the ESC Youth Fellowship joining us from DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Marcus Olivier. And I'm going to allow him to introduce himself, to tell us what he does, and to tell us how he found himself in this fellowship before we start the conversation.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. This is Marcus Olivier Chihoho Lwabagabo from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I am a lawyer and I am a community organizer as well. I am involved in civil society activism. And it's a pride, it's a honor to be one of the selected fellows to attend the Eastern African Community Youth Fellowship in Arusha, Tanzania. You can't imagine how I'm feeling to represent the Democratic Republic of Congo to this fellowship. And it's really, really amazing to be one of the attendees to this first cohort. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Marcus Olivier. He's one of the 30 who made it out of a list of 752 applicants to join the inaugural cohort of the ESC Youth Fellowship. And they are having such a good time going through their training. The training started with the Leadership 101 module and now was followed by the Self-Leadership module, which is going to be the subject of our conversation today. You may be asking yourself why it is important to study or talk about self-leadership. You may be asking yourself why it is important to participate in a self-leadership session before embarking on a fellowship to hone your leadership skills. That is a question that we're going to be answering here today with the support of my speakers. But before I get to them, I just want to remind us that the Danida Fellowship Center and MSTCDC commit themselves to providing information, as much information for citizens to be able to, in an informed way, participate in decision-making on matters of democracy and governance, matters of stability, and matters of green transition. And today, we are also going to show you how self-leadership fits into this entire conversation. Dialogue is a key component of our work, and transforming the knowledge that is gained from our processes into action is also a very key component of our work, and also the reason why this podcast exists. I'm just going to quickly go to my guests so that we can have a conversation about this in detail. Duncan, you are the one who was here to deliver this session on self-leadership as a tool or as a key to leading others. Tell me, what is the value of delivering such a session to a group of people who we expect to practice their leadership in the region?
Thank you, Stella. This is a very good question. A lot of times we focus on the hard skills. A lot of times we focus on sort of describing the problems that exist and trying to find solutions. And we rarely focus on the person that is actually being sent to do this. And the experiences, the space they are in, whether it's a head space, heart space, or the hand space that they are in. So then self-leadership becomes critical, that as you look forward to helping community or the society around yourself, you're also in charge of yourself. When you look at the challenges the youth are facing, self-leadership becomes a critical component, or else the process will kill them. Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about, if you're exposed too much too soon, when you get bitterness too soon because your generation or the father's generation has lost it, or you feel the pain of them having missed opportunities, there's a sense in which you need to take care of yourself. That's why we come to the conclusion that the next level for the youth needs a strong version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And for them to have that, they have to be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And that disposes them to their engagement strategy, the mechanism with which they engage society, who to talk to in that sense. And also get to know their blind spots in their engagement process so that they know when to need help and what kind of help to look forward to getting.
Mm. You mentioned two things. You mentioned bitterness, and immediately I was brought back to the place where a few of the fellows in the room actually managed to reconnect with parents that they had ceased to talk to, were able to reconnect with friends that they were not speaking to for a long time and decided to reconnect to. And they also made peace with some of the disconnections that they have made and are no longer interested in making. Apart from that, I also saw them engaging in self-introspection and having a conversation with themselves about what you describe as the version of a leader that they want to present to their next level. We are really curious to know, how did the magic happen? What are these tools that you used to make them get to that place?
Stella, as you mentioned earlier in the introduction, I did a coaching course a few years back.
Mm.
A gentleman called Leslie Brickman walked me for 1 year. And one of the topics was around facing yourself and getting to see who is in the mirror. And so then that kicked in an aspect around authenticity. And for you to be authentic, you got to walk people in your own journey and saying, hey, I'm not an instructor from the skies or from heaven. I walk this journey. And so I allowed them, the participants, into my walk. Specific context, so that, because you mentioned about emotions,
mm-hmm.
I walked about my struggle with my, then, you know, growing up with a single mother. And it's my mother who walked away from a bad relationship. And so my dad was missing in the picture. I was in high school. I desired that my dad would come and visit me, not even just once, because I was in a good high school, so to say, the best in that region. And I was like, if your son is looking like they are going to shoot for the moon, it behooves you to want to participate in their lives. I had an identity crisis when I was in form two. And all that, just knowing that I had one version, and there are questions in the African context you can't ask your mother. You know, so because of that, then I walked them into how then I started a journey to reconnect with my father, and realized that he is not the angel I was looking forward to. And perhaps it was God sent that actually I walk in the journey of having been raised by my own mother. But at the same time, I came to the fact that even if my dad didn't participate in my life, and he's not the angel that I would admire as a role model, he still is my dad. And to that end, I need to make peace with the fact that I may not like many things about him, but that doesn't change the fact that he's my father. So I have a relationship, and my relationship with my dad is I will do in my space as a son,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how he behaves, because then he has a choice for his generation, I have a choice for my generation. If I hold bitterness, I will pass on that bitterness to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so a part of the healing process is making peace with your father. So I allowed myself vulnerable and allowed the cohort to walk into, to see me for who I am. That I'm not this angel, that I've had some good work in terms of my work to balance myself. I've had really issues, but in so doing, the unintended consequence, which I didn't expect, is that the participants are reflecting and realizing that, hey, we live in context that we have strained relationship here. We have an ambition around our career progression based on the journey we take in school, but at the same time, there are real issues around ourselves. Dysfunctions at family level, and what does that look like for? So when some realize that, hey, the baggage I carry is part of my story, it has a role to play, that's when now these emotions are coming up and people start realizing. But also we offer them a platform to say, you know what, it's not all that bad, you can always reconnect. You don't have to carry that baggage, forgiveness has a space, you know, and things like that, yeah.
And the better version of them would rather come without the baggage of bitterness.
Yes, they are. You are in control of some things. There are things that you're not in control of.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were born, the circumstances in which you were brought up, sometimes you're heavily not in control. But how you respond to these things, you are in control, mm-hmm. whether you know it or not. And part of the self-awareness journey is mm-hmm. to say, are you aware, or is it a blind spot on your part that you don't know that some of the things that are pulling yourself back are from the baggage you bring on the table, from your background?
Mm-hmm.
What are you running away from? What is chasing you?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you've lived up in a dysfunction and you're always desiring to say, you know what? I never want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded of Chinua Achebe, you know, he writes a book, Things Fall Apart. There's
mm-hmm.
a gentleman called Okonkwo. Okonkwo works extremely hard not to be like his father
mm-hmm.
because his father lived on begging. And even in begging, he lived in debt and he never repaid his debts.
Mm-hmm.
Okonkwo starts to work hard to run away from something. So he ends up making mistakes in life, but you can see what is chasing him
mm-hmm.
is some level of baggage that he really didn't need to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so the profile, the eyes, the lens that which you look at where you're coming from becomes critical in you being self-aware
mm-hmm.
and also assessing your response to the things that affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the triggers could have moved away, but it's just a matter of time that we get the triggers. Think of a scenario where maybe you had a high school sweetheart who really messed you up, you know, for lack of a better example.
Mm.
And maybe for lack of a better example, again, let's call them Peter for purposes of this conversation. Mm. Anytime you meet any other person called Peter, there's a silent, unintended, you know, flavor that you bring on the table to attack Peter or assess Peter, knowingly or unknowingly. And so being self-aware of some of these things
mm-hmm.
becomes helpful in you charting your journey in life.
Excellent. Allow me to bring Olivier into this conversation. Olivier, you are seated on the receiving end of this conversation. You are seated on the receiving end of the exercises that Duncan took the class through. What has the experience been like for you?
Oh, my experience. I really can't tell what I'm really feeling about the experience I'm gaining from this session, because it's like I was born right this week. This is the week I'm born. I came to earth. Because, you know, most of the time when you are attending sessions or fellowships, it's like people bringing you the information, something which happened in 1977, something which happened long ago. But Coach Duncan, it's like he took us into to engage a journey into ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to discover ourselves, how we, I mean, the way we were like, facing the challenges, because sometimes we think that challenges are coming from the outside while it's from ourselves. So he puts you in a condition like you are putting yourself, behind the mirror and look at yourself, look at you, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that you should change this way of listening? How you are listening, how you are thinking, how you perceive information, how you intervene with, how you interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
It means it's a journey into yourself. And all of us, we are like, we are discovering, oh my God, this is true. Oh my God, this is true. And he has a given way of bringing up the examples. Some of his examples are like concerning his own life. But then you don't understand how his life is like yours. Oh my God, he there, this is the coach. He's like an extra person. You can't believe that this is a human.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, he has gone through this,
mm-hmm.
and this is how he managed.
Mm-hmm.
He went through this, and this is how he managed. And that's why he is coming from Kenya, but now he's here in Tanzania because he went through this. But he always won,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time you find his all of his attitude,
mm-hmm.
how we respond, and he was always repeating, the most important thing is not what happened to you, but how you respond on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenges, we always face challenges,
mm-hmm.
but what counts at the end of the day is how we respond on that. So in this, I'm feeling like I'm born now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new way of looking at life,
mm-hmm.
and looking at Marcus,
mm-hmm.
looking at Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you one thing. You can't imagine that, guys, you can be seated in the class from the morning,
mm-hmm.
but when they tell you that it's lunchtime, you're feeling like, oh my God, this could take me again. No, this is too early.
Mm-hmm.
Because the coach is such an amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's a very interesting opportunity
mm-hmm.
for the leaders. And I think many more youth can be attending, would be attending this for the best of the community, for the best of Africa, and for the development we all need.
Excellent. Was it easy to look at the person in the, to look at Marcus in the mirror when you were going through the session?
At the beginning, it wasn't really easy. It wasn't easy. But I'm speaking about the way it was taking you to that step. You see, when he comes with examples, you feel like, oh, this is the man speaking. And when you go back in your room, you think you begin on thinking back on that. Oh, he said this and this. Myself, I'm going through this and this. And the example you heard, we have a fellow coming from South Sudan 10 years ago. 10 years, she was not in touch with her father, her own father. But through the example of our coach, he went also through that problem. His father had some trouble with his mother. But the way he was behaving in that, and the way he's still behaving, the lady came up and said, no, now I'm wrong. The problem is not my father. And the problem is not my mother. That they are problem. But myself as myself, I have a role to do. And maybe I need to have a room for forgiveness. Because after all, if I keep on blaming him, it doesn't change anything. And in my path, it's like taking me back instead of moving forward. And I think he made it easy. It wasn't easy, personally, but he made it easy.
He made it easy for you.
He made it easy.
Would you like to share any of the trauma or the issues that you decided to drop after you listened to the training?
The trauma. You know, to be clear, it's like more personal, but he went about the love story he had. He had a girlfriend, how they separated. It was really hard. I was going through the same situation. And I was feeling like, this is over for me. Maybe life was not made for me. I need to focus on other things. But for him, after separation, he made his life. He understood that this can happen. And he moved on. And finally, he found the mother of his children. And now they are living. He forgot that history. Now I think he has challenged me. And when I'll be back to my country, maybe I will look a way of moving on and forget all the past stories. Yeah, that's how.
While you are going through his journey with him, did you notice how you holding on to the heart of that relationship was interfering with your self-expression and how you present yourself?
Yes, it was interfering somehow, especially the way I was looking at women. I'm sorry. You see, the way you're looking at women. These human beings, they are complicated. Maybe they are not good for our mental health, etc. But now I feel like, okay, that's one person. And it's over. Then you need to find another one and life continues.
And they're not all the same.
They are not all the same at the end of the day.
Excellent. Let me come back to you, Juma. You took the participants through a session to just understand who they are and their temperaments and their characters and basically their preferences. Give us a run through of what kinds of discoveries you were expecting that the participants would make out of that process.
There's a tool we use, the MBTI model, which pretty much has four dichotomies to reflect on self-awareness. I think Elizabeth and Catherine Myers, Elizabeth Myers, looked at preference positions that people take in light of how things happen around them. And they looked at them through four lenses. And number one was how you recharge or how you get to energize, And that brought the dichotomy around the introvert and the extrovert perspective and what that does to you and how you see life as extroverts and introverts. You have scenarios where, to be vulnerable, I had mentioned that I live with my wife who's extremely introverted, while I'm as an extreme extrovert as it gets, And the two of us don't see the life together. She recharges by being indoors, closing up the world. I recharge by talking to someone and going out to party and all that. I'm a party animal to that extent. Yet you have someone who doesn't see the world through you. That has an impact on the type of holidays you take. the schools you choose, I would choose schools that are yellow in color, you know, yelling and shouting because they energize me. Mm-hmm. She would enjoy the dull moments, schools with green trees and stuff like that. So then the second layer of that is to look at how, what kind of information they choose to trust and believe, which looks at then those who are using the sensing lenses and those who use the intuitive lenses. There are people who are big pictured. You're in a project. There's someone who sees the end game. When you say the impact, this project will impact 100,000 lives. They are like, yeah, we are on board. There's someone who says, hey, I hear you, but I'm here now. What's the nexus between here and there, you know? And so the people are energized by the process, but they only trust information that's logical, you know, put in order, sequential in that sense. Then the third level looks at how you come into conclusions or decision-making. By and large, there are those who are using the feeling lenses and there are those who use the thinking lenses. And that has different parameters. The thinkers likely to follow the law, the rules of the book, the standard operating procedures. But at the same time, you have the feelers who think about the impact of their decision. Think of a HR manager who says, if I fire Stella, what will her children eat? You can almost see now that decision is made with the feelings aspect around it, because then you think about the impact of the decision as opposed to just the decision.
Mm.
At the same time, there are those who say it's just unfortunate, the law is the law. It cuts in whichever way it goes. You offended the law, you live by the book, you know. So there are those dichotomies. Then finally, there are those who are more spontaneous and those who are structured to that end. And so that dichotomy, usually the four dichotomies usually usher people into 16 preference positions, which don't necessarily bespeak to their behavior, but looks at if their life or issues were left to their own devices, the preference positions, just like you, if you go to take ice cream, vanilla or strawberry, there's a chance you prefer one over the other. Doesn't mean you can't take the other. And it's just to bring the cohort to a space where they get to understand that there are things that are easy for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about communication. The extrovert heavily predisposed to be very bad listeners because they hear their own things, you know. And sometimes if they're listening to an introvert, there's a very high chance that if they have heard that story before, they will not even be listening and they'll want to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense in which an extrovert who is intuitive, if they come and they are leaders, their charisma is likely to set the agenda. So mm-hmm. a part of the life skill is for them to learn how to keep quiet mm-hmm. or speak last.
Mm-hmm.
People may not appreciate how much energy it takes to keep quiet for an extrovert who likes even hearing the sound of their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in that sense, then at the same time, you have an introvert who is structured, you know, for example, and for an introvert in that sense, people may not know how hard it is for them to even forge new alliances, forge new, you know, form new relationships. It takes them a lot of energy, but at the same time, the world is gravitating more towards people who are saying it can be done. And mm-hmm. chances are then we are telling the introverts, you need to raise your hand up so that your voice can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so this started to be a tool that you use as a punchline. But the mm-hmm. setup is to say, are you able to see yourself through these lenses?
Mm-hmm.
And can you relate? What areas do you need to readjust? Do you realize maybe there are conversations you may need a spokesperson? Do you realize there are conversations that you may want to be quiet about and stuff like that? So those are, you know, lenses we used. By and by, and then of course now we walked after that to spaces that then what that would mean mm-hmm. in terms of your personality preference position.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Duncan. And maybe as an extension to that, I want to ask Marcus Olivier, what did that exercise help you discover? You know, what were your preferences? I imagine that you're definitely an extrovert because of how I've seen you interact.
Thank you very much. But concerning that exercise, I'm saying that maybe it was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was really made for me. Because we went through a survey, and then you were wondering, they asked this question, you answer just normally. And at the end, you say, oh, okay, this is the conclusion. Mm-hmm. And when he's explaining, I tell you, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. And maybe in this situation, this is how you behave. Mm-hmm. This situation, this is how you behave. In this challenge, this is how you face. And then you find like this survey, this exercise was made exactly for me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm an extrovert, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And concerning what kind of information?
Mm-hmm.
I came to find out that I'm such an unstructured person. And sometimes I wanted to stress about that.
Mm-hmm.
But finally he said, myself, I'm unstructured. Mm-hmm. But yet he's our coach. Mm-hmm. Then you say, so I don't need to, I don't need to worry about that. And concerning the making the decision making. When we went through that, I prefer, more thinking than failing.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, it's a matter of preference. Not like about feeling, it deactivated and it doesn't exist. No, but I prefer thinking than feeling. And it's like I'm such a prospective, mm-hmm. such a prospective man. And when I had the results of myself, I didn't end up there. I said, okay, so I had some problems, some troubles in love. Please tell me about this and this. What should be my preferences about the person I need to date or to marry with? Then he said, okay, he gave me some preferences. And for me, concerning all of this we went through, I think Coach Duncan will be finally, for me, the man of the year, because he helped me discover myself. Not start giving information. This is what exists. This is how things. But go beyond. Into yourself, mm-hmm. and I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't imagine how grateful I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You wish you had met him earlier in the year.
Yeah. And today when he told me that he is now leaving, mm-hmm. I was, oh my God, too early like this. And then when I was consulting my notebook, it's 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine,
mm-hmm.
because you're feeling like every day it's a new energy, new thing to learn, new thing to discover. Then I said, okay, anyway, maybe he has other duties.
Mm-hmm.
We understood, but this is on the behalf of all the fellows.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really, really are grateful about the choice of Coach Duncan on this session.
Indeed, Duncan was here to plant a seed. He was here to set you up, and then you would engage in the work that is involved in completing the assignment of creating the new you. Duncan, what was your highlight in the entire session as an instructor or as a coach?
I think, I don't know, I have never in my life ever trained or done an assessment or a coaching session and cried. This was the first one.
Wow.
Where, sometimes what happens is we have head knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and God has blessed us with either charisma to pass that information across.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see results almost immediately, it's a scary space.
It can confuse you.
It messed me up. Mm. I cried in class for the first time. But it's just to see. In fact, when that happens, it was Wednesday.
Mm.
When that happened, I said, my job is done. Mm-hmm. I feel like God dispatched me here for this, and I can go.
Mm-hmm.
Anything above this is just the topping. The cake, the mm-hmm. real cake has been baked.
Mm-hmm.
And so my aha moment is when someone says, I reconciled with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have head knowledge, because most times when we are doing trainings, mm-hmm. we're talking about the head, mm-hmm. the heart, and the hands.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're looking at, where is your head at this point as a young person, as a youth? Where is your heart? What are you driven towards?
Mm-hmm.
What are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, what is your call to action?
Mm-hmm.
What are things you can do at your space that allow you to thrive? But when you finally are touching on the heart of the issues, and someone said, in fact, when she said, I want to thank you,
mm-hmm.
because you connected me back with my father. I'm like, mm-hmm. what? How did I mm-hmm. talk to your father and all? But again, the harvest around being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
to let people in and allow them to reflect on the mirror of their own,
mm-hmm.
and then they come up and say, you know what? This has been. And then I look at the fact that this is a cross-cutting team. It's a very diverse. In fact, the breadth, the width of the selection is really wide.
Mm.
You're not just talking about South Sudan and Rwanda in the same room. You're not talking about Uganda and Burundi in the same room, Kenya in the same room, that.
Mm.
They are the width with which yet the youth in Africa, or in East Africa for that matter, Africa have a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through dysfunctions at family level, function with our immediate neighbors. Mm-hmm. And those examples kept coming out. There was an example around, how do we treat people when an accident occurs in a country? And if it's a citizen of the neighboring country, how do you treat them? And I think this became surreal. And for me, I have also my own reflections to do when I go back in my own space,
mm-hmm.
to just say, hey, how can I contribute even better? To answer the questions my generation is asking, but also impact the youthful generation and say, you know what, we you may have dropped the baton, but at least we can equip you to start answering those questions that your generation calls for.
Great. We are glad even the instructor is carrying lessons and reflections to go and engage in. DFC and MSDCDC are committed to learning. They are committed to exchange. And even when we convene to provide a training, we don't normally convene with the thinking that we are the only ones who know what we are teaching. We normally convene with the understanding that everybody in the room has something to teach the other. And that process of learning needs to accommodate that. From a learner's perspective, Olivier, what was the highlight of the self-leadership session for you?
Thank you very much. You see, for this module about self-awareness, it helps us everyone discover themselves. And when you make a journey into yourself, people were like understanding that networking were beyond many things. First, connecting with yourself and bonding with the environment, the external environment.
Mm.
You see, our instructor had a given way of engaging everyone and make sure everyone communicates with another one through dancing. Sometimes, okay, you are there sitting, okay, you need to talk to make sure you talk to five people around you, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes you, even if when you came, okay, delegations from different countries, maybe you knew each other before, maybe you didn't know before. But in this session, you find like when you speak about integration, this is very, very, exact definition of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we are not feeling like, okay, this is coming from Tanzania, this is coming from Burundi, this one coming from Rwanda. It's like a family, finally. So for all of us, we think that the MSTCDC chose a very good way of integrating the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, when I came here, before the last week online session, it was like 29 unknown people. I didn't know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm feeling like being with my brothers and my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, we think that Congo, engaging into discussions and reflecting about our respective countries, we find, oh, this exists even here. This exists even here. Then it's like you are penetrating the realities of the other country, of the community. And I think this is a very positive aspect of this fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So myself, I'm really feeling integrated. I'm really feeling that, okay, the Democratic Republic of Congo, the government made a very good decision to integrate this community because maybe we couldn't find another way. Maybe the selections or if I came here in another way, the selection was such objective that we feel like, okay, I'm learning about business. We have businessmen. We have politicians, we have social workers. And when you are sharing with all those people, it's like something you are gaining from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really grateful about this this session and this fellowship. We are really, really feeling integrated much more.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back to Congo, then we say, hey guys, you know what? You didn't know about the East African community, but it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And we have amazing people there.
Mm-hmm.
Please engage much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the idea about this session.
I'm glad you carried that message out of here. You're speaking to our audience. What is your closing statement to our audience concerning the ESC Youth Fellowship and why they should be a part of a self-leadership session?
You know, sometimes when you are living in your country, when you are close, in your own area, you feel like this is the world and this is all. And when they speak, you just can see the map of Africa, for example. Say, okay, this is Cameroon, this is Tanzania, this is, and that's over. But when you engage in sessions like this, you feel like, oh, there is life here. There are amazing people here. And when you share experiences concerning, political backgrounds, economic, social, and everything, you feel, okay. Then you need to, it's like comparing to yourselves, and you feel like the need of engaging much more about this, about the East African community. And when we speak about the youth, I think it includes openness. You don't need to start, I was born in Goma, I was born in Bukavu, I was born in Kinshasa, and just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But please open up. Because when you are talking to the other people, you have a different way of conceiving life, conceiving leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because learning leadership for your own context, it's like insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But when you learn it from another context, especially another country of the community, it means you come up with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you go back to your country, you go with another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have businessmen. Okay, what is business in South Sudan, for example?
Mm-hmm.
How are you treated by your government? Mm-hmm. How do you manage it? How do you handle this and this? How you feel, okay, this is how they go beyond the stakeholder. This is how they face challenges. Okay, how do you deal with this in Tanzania, for example, politicians? Okay, the youth is much more involved in politics. The members of the political parties, how do they engage in that? Then you feel, okay, even if I am the youth, I can engage in this way. So different experiences we are sharing with our fellow participants here, it helps us understand much more better what leadership is,
mm-hmm.
and beyond the like a national context.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I have gained,
mm-hmm.
in this fellowship. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll be back to the DRC,
mm-hmm.
a very new person, excellent. A new leader, which carries the future. And my generation, the future generation,
mm-hmm.
I think they can be sure,
mm-hmm.
that they have a leader.
Excellent. That was our intention. That was definitely our intention, even as we're bringing you to the training. Duncan, your closing statement to our audience, what is the value of being a part of the ES Youth Fellowship, but specifically of taking a self-leadership management course as part of it?
Thanks, Stella. I must appreciate the fact that the youth face a myriad of challenges. It's not lost to them. Say families don't have food, the youth are the brand of it in a very great extent. When education is in shambles in whatever space, the youth are affected in one way or the other. In actual, sometimes we are mortgaging their future. What we are encouraging in this fellowship is then to say they need to be a part and parcel of the solution that we bring on the table. And there's no better way to explain with the fact that as a youth, there are things that are predisposed to them as advantages, and if they are misused, then they will go into, you know, oblivion, so to say. One of the things is they have time. How they deploy time, in a matter of time, will depend on then what the gains come out of it. They have the energy. That's an advantage. The industrial space talked about retirement at age 55. The premise then was you can't do hard labor at 55. We are redefining even spaces like retirement,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of then saying, if you still have the energy, how do you deploy it? And then the resource aspects around it. As a youth, sometimes the resources that are allocated to you are to enable you kickstart a journey, and if you don't harness your season, you will not be able to competently answer the questions that your generation is asking for. And so being a part of this fellowship becomes an opportunity to allow the youth to thrive, seeing that either the mandate is bigger than they're willing to appreciate, but they most likely need to be a part and parcel of the solutions that affect Africa, by and large, the rest of the world.
Thank you very much, Duncan. To my audience, how do you expend the energy that you have? Which spaces are you going into to be able to learn what you could do to expend that energy well? Where are you focusing your attention? There are governance questions that we must respond to, and you're being called upon to answer those governance questions. But what we are telling you out of this podcast is that your self-leadership, how you show up into the public space, how you present yourself in the public space, determines the kind of leadership that you offer to people, because they respond to who shows up in the public space. You may be asking yourself, what is the ESC Youth Fellowship? The ESC Youth Fellowship is a program and an initiative that has been is running as a collaborative effort between the East Africa Community, the MS Training Center, the Jakaya Mrisho Kikwete Foundation, the Julius Nyerere Leadership Center, and the Emerging Leaders Foundation. We have come together to put together a fellowship to prepare and skill and tool young people in the region to be able to offer solutions to the problems of regional integration that we're facing as a region, to the governance issues that we're facing as a region, and to begin participating actively in growing an East Africa community that actually does benefit from the youth and harnesses the energies and the strength and the innovation of the young people in its region. This fellowship has been rolled out this year for the very first time. We are having the first cohort that is gathering at MSTCDC Arusha for their training. They're going to be going through a six-week immersive program of training. The first module that they were going through was Leadership 101. The second module is the Self-Leadership and management as a tool to leading others. They will be going further to explore other topics after this, including a training on the youth leadership for the Africa we want and governance and political federation in the East Africa community. They will further go through another module on the climate justice, green transition, and how they can be able to participate. Young people can be able to participate in actually addressing the climate crisis. They will go through another module to address the youth inclusion in economic development with a focus on the African Continental Free Trade Agreement and the custom union in the East Africa community. After this, possibly, if they successfully go through all this, they're going to graduate in the month of November. And we are hoping that all 29 who have made it into the class now are going to make it to the graduation day. You are interested in this course, please visit our websites, the You Lead Africa website, where you'll be able to get more information about the event, about the activities that we're doing. Visit the websites of all the partners that I have invited, because they're also going to be providing links with information that you can be able to use to understand how you can engage in the fellowship. For young people who are interested in the course this year, the application process is closed, but we shall open it up again for the next cohort. And I hope you are going to attempt to come on board so that you can have the same experience that Olivier has described here from the different sessions. Together with you, help me thank my guests, Marcus Olivier from the DRC Congo. Thank you very much. Duncan Juma, coach extraordinaire from Kenya. Thank you very much. With that, this is your host, Stella Agara, saying thank you very much for joining me today. I believe we've had a lovely conversation. Until next time, this is us signing out from MSDCDC Arusha for this podcast that we bring to you in partnership with the Danida Fellowship Center. Kwaherini.